In class,
our lesson today is going to be on Old Testament instances of rebellion. This is going to be the beginning of a series of lessons demonstrating or giving us examples of rebellion, but we're going to begin in Old Testament instances. And we're going to start with the fall of Adam and Eve. If you have your Bible, and I know you should have your Bible, turn your Bible with me to Genesis 2, begin at verse 16. And we're going to see where the first law was given by God to man, the first man that existed, to show you that authority always was on God's mind. God always, even from the very beginning, operate on the principle of submission. And we're going to find out just how, if you want to trace something back, always go to the book of the beginning. And that's why we're starting here. And so we're going to find out God always have a way of doing things. And he always set his principle out in the beginning, so we'll know for future references if sometime you may get confused about something or you may misunderstand how something go. Always go back to the book of beginning. Go back the way God first set things up, because God said, I'm the Lord and I change not. And God started this thing out in the beginning, and he keep this thing going even till 2020. Yes, even to this day, God never changed. So let's begin reading at verse 16, Genesis 2:16. It's going to deal with the fall of Adam and Eve. Follow closely in the scripture. And we're going to go from the 16 to the 16 and 17 verse. Then we're going to go to Genesis 3. And the Lord God commanded, underline the word commanded in your Bible, the man saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Now, underline in your Bible, thou mayest freely eat. Of every tree of the garden, God, thou mayest freely eat. And the reason I want you to understand, pay close attention to this, is because we're going to find out some words were changed. Satan changed the word of God to trick Eve into tricking Adam into disobeying God. Satan not going to come to you directly with a temptation. He always comes to you indirectly. And he always deal with your emotion. He deal with your soul, trying to get you off track. If he gets you into your soulless realm, or in the mental realm, or in your thinking realm, he can trick you, because then you get outside of your spirit man. He'll trick you every time. If you walk in the spirit, the scripture says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Satan can't get you in the spirit. So he try to pull you out of the spirit realm into the sensory realm. And we're going to find out just what happened to Eve and also to Adam. So he said, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. God said this. And look at that 17th verse. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Repeat this with me. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I had you to repeat that, because I want you to know God gave his first commandment to Adam. And God expects Adam to keep that commandment and to withhold that, because that was his life. God always gave us commandments to keep life, not to put us in bondage. God's commandments are always to bless, not to curse, to bless. And if you hearken diligent to the word of the Lord, you'll always be blessed. So God didn't give them that rule to put them in bondage, but God always give it rules to give you a choice. Now, make a note of this. It's not in your book, but the Lord showed me this through many years of teaching. Rules, and it's a principle, always reveal rebellion. Remember I told you that? Rules always reveal rebellion. Rules, you're going to find out, when God gave the commandments to Moses, those are a lot of commands, and there were rules set up by God. But you didn't know if you disobeyed God unless you had something to show you that you disobeyed God. That was the law was. The law was to show that we did wrong. So and at the same time, it reveals a person's heart. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, you know, we got certain rules we had to follow as a kid growing up, as a child growing up. And whenever you gave a rule, whether you submit to it or break it, it revealed your heart. And it always exposed you. I don't know about nowadays, but when we were growing up, 6 o'clock, you had to be in the house. When the sun started going down, that was your time to be in. And so if you came in past that time, you was in trouble because you know you had broken a rule. And it was revealed that you were gonna do what you want to do anyway. Matter of fact, that the rebuke of God, you're gonna do what you want to do? Yeah. You gonna act like a man? I'm gonna treat you like one. And so we got chastised for it because we wanted to make up our own mind and say, look, we're gonna stay late. You know, you won't finish your game, you won't finish what you were doing, we're just gonna stay late. And so we stayed late and we got punished for it. You see, and what the point behind that? Whenever you break the rule, whenever you come against a commandment, there's always punishment for it. Woe unto the parent that spare the rod when a child make a mistake. You spare the rod and you spoil the child. So rules are meant to be kept. Rules are meant to be observed. Rules are to keep you from danger. Rules are to protect you, not to put you in bondage. Don't be afraid to give your children rules. Don't be afraid to give your children laws to go by. No, they have to have some guidelines to keep. And at the same time, the rules going to reveal their heart, whether they're going to be a submissive child or whether they're going to be a rebel. Don't be afraid to give them rules. And that tells that. Amen. Let me go on to my lesson now. The 17th verse there, I'm going to read it again. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, underline good and evil in your Bible. Good and evil was never supposed to be in man's hand. God was always the one supposed to choose what was good and what was evil. Our job was only to submit. God was going to choose the good and evil. Thou should not eat of it, for in the day that thou doest eat of the tree, thou shalt surely die. And we're going to find out he wasn't talking about physical death. Matter of fact, spiritual death is worse than physical death. Amen. Because spiritual death is eternal death. And I tell you what, the eternal death in disobedience leads to everlasting damnation and punishment. You're going to learn that. If you ain't already learned that, it's so anyway. All right. Now, let me read a little bit. And Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you're able to eat except the one in the midst of the garden. Now, listen to this. Let me finish reading Genesis 3 first. Then we're going to get into my notes. We're going to get into some things I want you to keep in your heart because pay close attention here. Because this is going to set the groundwork for the entire book, for the entire lesson this year of how this principle of God is established and is for a lifetime and not for a season. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. I thought about this. I did some thinking about why God chose the serpent above all the other beasts of the field. And I got to thinking about the serpent. You see, when I was growing up, I always used to watch the animal shows, Wild Kingdom, it was when we was growing up. And they show different species of animals. And the serpent, the snake, we call it the snake now, he called it the serpent. But the serpent was subtle, crafty. When I say subtle, it meant crafty, in a bit sneaky, because a snake will lay wait in the grass until the prey come, and then he would be almost camouflaged with the surrounding. Now, pay close attention now. He'll camouflage stuff with the surrounding so the prey couldn't tell he was there or not. And then when the prey got close enough, then he launched his attack. And he bit his and put his venomous poison into their bodies, and slowly killed them. It didn't kill them instantly. It slowly took life out of them. That's subtlety. That's craftiness. Jesus said in John 10:10, but the thief cometh to do three things: to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's not Satan. I don't know what he was talking about. Satan, this satanic fool, and all he wanted to do is steal, kill, and to destroy. So let me go back to my book here, the Bible. Now, the serpent was more subtle. Now, I want you to put what I just said with how the crafty the enemy is. So when he launches attack against a person, try to get you to disobey God, try to get you to come in rebellion against God, then you know that he's not going to openly do it. He's going to use his subtlety and his craftiness, and he's going to try to pull you out of the spirit and into the sensory realm. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? See, God did not say that. He came close to what God said. God said, you should be able to eat of every tree of the garden, except. Now, what Satan did was, with this statement he made, he knew that Eve knew this is not what God said, but it was enough to take Eve out, pull her out in the open to be able to converse with the enemy. My, you know what I just said? Satan wants you to get the position where you converse with him. You should never have a conversation too long with the enemy. The only conversation you should have is if you recognize him, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You don't conversate with the enemy. When you conversate, oh, Jesus. Why I say, oh, Jesus? Because I just saw something else. And when you conversate with the enemy, you become his prey. You see, he camouflaged himself. And when you talk to him, you become his prey. Now he's got you on the leash. Now he's got you in a position where he's got your attention. And once he gets your attention, he can inflict his poisonous venom into your mind. Now he gets you to thinking. He gets your thoughts to rolling. He gets your mind to rolling. Now I'm not talking about. I'm not trying to teach demonology, but this subject goes along that course. And Satan's our enemy, and you should know his warfare. And you should know how he operates. And his whole intent is to bring you out of submission into rebellion. And when you get into rebellion, you disobey God. And when you disobey God, you don't get his will done upon earth. The object of submission is to submit to God, submit to his word, submit to a spiritual leader, that God may get his will done upon the earth. Because when you're out of his will, you're out of submission, into rebellion, Satan loves it because you're not getting God's job done, and you're anti-God. Why? Because you're not doing the will of God. Satan is anti-God. Satan is the Antichrist. And he don't want you to submit or do anything of the will of God. That's his whole goal, and that's the subject of this class, to get us a position where we always want to obey God. And most people in their heart always want to obey God, but they are sidetracked by this demon principle, satanic principle, the satanic principle of rebellion. Disobedience. Rebellion, disobedience, satanic principle. Whenever you disobey, it's satanic principle. Remember that. And we don't want to walk that. So you see how he injects his venom in Eve's thought. Now Eve thought his thought process opened up. And the woman said, you see it? She answered the devil. She should have, by right. If she submitted to Adam, that she's supposed to be submitted to Adam, she should have said, hold up, let me let you talk to Adam. God gave the commandment to Adam. He know the commandment better than I do. You see it? Let me talk to my head. Let you talk to my husband. I tell my wife right now, I said, baby, if anybody calls you, let them talk to me. Let them deal with me. You don't have to be dealing with their foolishness. Sometimes people call on the phone with some foolishness, especially if you're 2 days late with something. I said, nope, talk to me. And that was Eve should have did. Let me go get my husband. That what you got to do. Let me go get my representative here. Someone that more in charge than I am. I'm not belittling a woman authority, but no, God put the woman in a wife under submission to her husband, if the husband is submitted to God. Now, that's another lesson down the road, because we're going to talk about submission in the home, in the church, and in the world. Three phases of submission, three phases of obedience, because you got to be submitted to God first, submission to the home, husband and wife submission, then submission to the church, church leaders, and God's representative authority that he had put over us within the church. Now, let me find my chapter again. Okay. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, right? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. See, God didn't say anything about touching it. Eve added on to what God, she should have went and got a husband. That's what she should have did. Excuse me, I didn't mean to get so excited. But anyway, it's the truth. Eve should have went and got her husband Adam, and brought him on the scene and let the enemy talk to the head man in charge. The third verse said, full verse there, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God do know that the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Good and evil sounds good to have that knowledge, but sometimes that knowledge calls you to try to decide and to discern and to pick between when God already has a divine will at hand, and he don't want to, God never intends to be a judge of what good and evil. God is the judge of good and evil. Our job is only to obey. Now, she got into a wrong principle here, but she thought it was good. You thought it was a good idea to get into good and evil. Sometimes good ideas are not God's idea. A lot of people come sometime, even come to the ministry sometime, and they got revelation, and they got good ideas. A lot of good ideas are fine, but they're not God's idea. You want God's idea. All right? And it's still not a good idea. You should not surely die. Fifth verse, for God do know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you should be as God, knowing good and evil. Sixth verse, and when the woman saw, now look, now she's gotten to the, Satan got her this way he wanted her. He got her into the sensory realm. Sensory realm is, oh no, now I got my imagination working. Satan got my evil imagination working in me. And she saw that the tree was good for food. Why God didn't let me see this? You see it? God didn't want to see it because he knew if you see it, you'll go. If God wanted to see it, he wouldn't show it to her. But God wanted to hide. God got to hide something from us to keep us from evil. But he always gave us a choice. She saw that the food was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise. You see, that's all she needed. She saw it. She judged it was good, and then she saw that she can be wise, and she'd be able to discern things for herself. And that's not what God intended. And look what happened after that. And did eat, and she did took of the fruit, and did eat. Everybody said did eat. She did eat, and gave it also to her husband. Everybody said gave it also to her husband. And he did eat. My goodness. He did eat. And I question that sometimes. I question Adam sometimes. I know the Bible don't say everything. He did eat. You know, sometimes a man do a lot of things to please a woman. And so, and sometimes he trusted Eve as his soulmate, and he didn't judge this thing for himself. You see it? He didn't judge it. Now, you know, sometimes as husband and wife, sometimes that's some decision need to be made. And I'm talking slow because I want to be careful what I say. Sometimes there's some decisions to be made in a home. And sometimes the wife, a woman, see, I've been married for 2 years, so I know what it is about marriage. And sometimes a woman is my wife. Sometimes they get jealous. I can't talk about your wife. I can't talk about you. So sometimes there's a jealousness, and they want to do certain things. And sometimes because of your love, you say, yeah, honey, let's go ahead and do it. But sometimes we say yes before we judge. Love will make you do it. I don't think about this old song. Love will make you do wrong or love will make you do right. But no, never the mind is. But love right here caused Adam not to judge what Eve said, and it caused him to disobey God. Always judge everything. Always judge everything because you want to stay in line with the will of God. All right? Now, let me give us some notes here. For as through one man, disobedience, talking about Adam, many were made sinners. That's Romans 5 and 19. One man disobedience, the whole world were made sinners. Man's fall, take these notes down or follow me in your book. Underline this. Man's fall, talk about the fall of Adam, is due to disobedience. Now, let's review the story of Adam and Eve as recorded in Genesis 2 and 3. After God had created man, or Adam, he gave him a few charges, and among these was the order not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The crux of this charge was more than the forbidden to eat a certain fruit. Rather, was it that God was putting Adam under authority, that he might learn obedience. Now, that goes back to my point. Under authority, you see, God's word over in Genesis 2, 16 and 17 was God's charge, which also was God was putting him under authority. The word of God is authority. When God spoke that word to Adam, he was putting Adam under authority that he might learn obedience. And go back to this other thing I said. When you give your children rules to follow, you're putting them under authority that they might learn. Remember the scripture over in Hebrews? I couldn't remember the first class. Hebrews 5. It said Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. So God always have to put you under authority that you might learn obedience. See, Adam had to learn obedience. That's why God always gave him a choice. You can eat of every fruit that's in the garden, but this fruit, this particular tree right here that's in the midst of the garden, Adam, I don't want you to eat this fruit because this fruit is going to give you the ability to be able to discern good and evil. And I don't want you to know good and evil. Good and evil belongs to me. And then that tree there for a purpose, that tree is to let you be able to learn obedience. If I say don't touch something, oh, man, I remember when my kids were small. And the stove would be on. And when they were growing up, they always wanted to touch something on the stove. And I would use the word hot, 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 hot. But they still won't touch it. So you know what I did? I grabbed my son's hand, and I put it close to the hot, 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 hot. You know what he said? Hot. hot day. So sometimes you almost got to touch the heat to know it's hot. And so sometimes sometimes they don't learn obedience just by words. Sometimes they got to touch it to learn obedience. You see it? And sometimes when a child go against one of your rule and you got to spank them or make some type of correction to them, sometimes the pan from the strap, if you use the strap, they used strap when I was growing up. When I was growing up, we messed up. My daddy used to have a big razor strap that he kept hung on the wall. And that razor strap was to sharpen his razor. But it was a dual purpose strap. It was about 4 foot long. And then when it was time to get a whipping, they said, go get the strap. My goodness, I'm walking back with the strap. I said, this don't make no sense. I'm going to get the weapon that's going to tear my hide. But the whole while I'm walking with the strap, I'm thinking about the punishment that I'm going to get with it. And I said, oh my God. I said, I don't want to do this no more. So sometimes it's good, even the thought process. I mean, even with the torture of carrying the strap, make me think about, look, I don't want to disobey no more. Yeah, and I will cry before I get the whipping. You start crying early, it might be a little so easy on you. But anyway, my whole point was, sometimes you got to touch it before you understand that you're breaking the rule and to know the punishment. Sometimes you spoil that rod, and that child don't know that next time, I ain't got to tell him, don't touch that hot stove. Next time, he gonna look at the stove, he gonna say, it's hot, Daddy. I said, yeah, it's hot. It's hot. And so sometimes, they have to fine line between God showing us his correction and the things he wants you to do to keep you out of spiritual trouble. The crux of this charge was more than the forbidden to eat a certain fruit. Rather, God was putting Adam under authority that he might learn. I hope you understand that. That he might learn obedience. Hope you understand that. Sometimes your pastor will put you under authority. He'll give you a certain guideline to follow. Those guidelines, like for instance, our apostle, used to say, look, the choir, if you don't come to prayer meeting, you don't need to be singing. Now that was a rule. Now that rule kind of helped kept them in obedience, to pray. Not a punishment obedience, but then when somebody want to go sing and know they hadn't prayed, they know they were just in disobedience. And you feel it too. Say, oh Lord, I'm up here praying and I ain't no prayer. The whole apostle don't know. I hope you don't know. And you're in fear and trembling the whole while because you ain't prayed. But the whole point is you put under authority that you might learn obedience. And once you fail one time, if you fail one time, you know you failed. Even if correction wasn't made. Just knowing in your spirit that you messed up, sometimes it's correction enough. Oh, if you get that. If you can get the correction in your spirit before you're told with words, then sometimes the Holy Ghost will correct you, and then you're on your way. You're on your way to what? You're on your way to learn obedience. When the Holy Ghost begins to correct you, to let you know when you're out divine order, and you're smitten in your spirit. I tell you what, you know it. You know when you're going to mess up. You don't need nobody to tell you. You don't need nobody to put their hands on you and tell you, oh, point your fingers and you messed up. You know it by the inner man. Oh, because you grieve. That's a grieving on the inside of you when you know you messed up, when you know you missed it, when you know I should have did this or I shouldn't have done that. Oh, when the church gets to that point, you know you're not far away from the kingdom of God then. You're on your way to learn authority. See, you can't learn authority until you met authority. And the Holy Ghost will help you to meet authority because he brings conviction on you in your heart. What must I do now, Lord? I messed up. Yep. Yep, that's it. All right. Only the one who is under authority can be an authority. You understand that? If you're not under authority, you definitely can't be an authority because then you don't know how to submit to authority. You remember the centurion in the 8th chapter of Matthew? His centurion, his son was sick, or his daughter was sick. He said, I'm a man also under authority. And I have soldiers under me. See, he was under authority, but he said, I have soldiers under me. I said, this man go, and he go it. I said, this man come, and he coming. I said, this man do this, and he do it. So he was explaining to Jesus that I know you a man of authority. if my servants can obey me, and I'm just a man, I know that them demon spirit that brings sickness on my child gonna obey you. He understood something. And Jesus said, I have not so found, Jesus called it faith. I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all Israel. Just until he understood something. He understood a principle that most people, the most of the church don't know nothing about. Understand authority. But you gotta be under authority that you might be in authority. I'm afraid of a person who plays in authority that never been under authority. Yep, you gotta be submitted. He's saying you gotta be submitted before anybody commit themselves to you. Amen. According to the order of God, creation of God's creation, God made Adam before he made Eve. He put Adam in authority and Eve under his authority. Well, that's the order of marriage. Now, that order that of marriage is a wife. As a matter of fact, Paul said in Ephesians, wives submit unto your husband, as unto the Lord. Now, sometimes they've been taught wrong, and sometimes husband try to use that to lord, and that's not what God was talking about anyway. One day we're going to get into that about a submission in the home. But God put the woman in submission, in marriage. Know what I'm talking about, in marriage. See, I'm not talking about women pastoring that they're still under a man. You know, they got to have, no, I'm talking about in marriage. I'm not talking about in God's order of fivefold ministry. I'm talking about in marriage. I want to make this clear. You see, in your home, see, God's spirit of authority is all different. The church and the home, see, in the world system, it's all different. And you're going to learn that. You need to understand that. So God put Adam over the woman in the home, and therefore Eve should have been submitted to Adam. And I'm going to go back. Eve should have went and checked with her husband. She should have let the enemy talk to her husband. And she shouldn't try to take that role upon herself and then get herself in spiritual trouble and cause Adam to be getting spiritual trouble. He said these two, the one has the authority and the other to be in subjection. In both the Old and the New Testament, the order of priority is the base of authority. Whoever is first created is to be the authority. Whoever is first saved is to be the authority. Therefore, wherever we go, remember this, and I practiced this all my life. Well, my life of learning. In my life of learning authority and obedience. My life of learning how to submit to my apostle appropriately and respectfully, and consider that he's my spiritual authority, and as you hear God, you know, I obey. You see what I'm saying? Therefore, wherever we go, our first thought must be to find out who are those to whom God wants us to be subject to. So a good question, who in authority that I might obey? I don't care if you're in the world system. I don't care if you're in the home. Now, I'm going to give you a good example about the home. I have children. I have married children. And my children are subject unto me. But when I go into their home, I don't go into their refrigerator. No, I respect their home, and then I'm submitted to their home. I'm submitted to their leadership, unless they give me permission, unless they give me authority to do certain things. You see, I went to a man's home one time years ago. The man had a problem. Him and the wife had a problem, and they invited me to come. And before I say anything, I said, am I permitted to speak freely in your home, sir? And he did like this. In other words, he didn't believe. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. But I wasn't going to go over and try and take over his home and disrespect him as a man. I said, do I have permission to speak freely? He did like this. So you see, no, you got the floor. And so I had authority. He gave me authority in his home to say what I needed to say and respect him in his home. And his home got totally set free. Not by me, but by the words of God that God gave me. So wherever you go, always ask the question, who is an authority that I might obey? Always remember, authority is everywhere. And so you keep that spirit behind, you go to other churches, and somebody invites you to preach. You just can't go preach what you want. No, you got to find out with those spiritual leaders, what the Lord is okay. What is it? I'll tell you what. I've studied, sometimes apostle would go out, and he'll permit me to minister in his absence, and sometimes, but I've never to this day, 30-something years I've been doing this, 35, 36 years, I've been submitted to him under his leadership in ministry. Not one time have I ever ministered, and God is my witness, where I never checked with him, what do you want me to minister on? I've never took the liberty of just grabbing some revelation on my own that God given me, that never God never brought out through the minister, the man of God, the apostle in charge. And my job was to always undergird whatever he said. All I do is I'm parakeeting what he said, undergirding what he said. Never bringing no new doctrine, never bringing no new revelation, always supporting what he's already done. He's the apostle. He set the foundation. Woe unto you. Woe unto me. If I say something contrary to what the man of God is saying, I'm submitted to his leadership. I'm submitted to his spirit. And I tell you what, you live a long, happy life serving your leader if you follow what I just said. Always on the gird. Never go there with nothing new, some fresh. Always stick with what your apostle guidelines are. And ask him, what is it you want me to minister on? But most of the time, I minister upon support my spiritual leader. Never took upon myself. God my witness. A pastor, church leader can trust you. If you do that and you operate and function in that role, I guarantee you, you will not be a renegade, you will not be rebellious, and you will not show yourself spiritual. You always minister in a submissive role. Remember I told you that, all right? Now, instead of obeying Adam, I'm almost done for today. I didn't get too far. Instead of obeying Adam, listen to this. Eve made her own decision. Don't ever make your own decision. Upon seeing that the fruit was good and pleasant to the eyes, she uncovered her head. She uncovered her authority. Her eating the fruit did not come out of subjection, but out of her own will. She not only violated God's order, but disobeyed Adam as well. Remember that I said that. Remember I told you that. And remember, you want to write this note down almost word for word. I'm gonna say it slow. It's in your book, and this is gonna be on the test. To rebel against God's representative authority is the same as to rebel against God Himself. Remember, I told you that. I'm gonna read it one more time. To rebel against God's representative authority, it could be the apostle. No, apostle over our churches here, over these churches. It could be over your pastor. It could be over your husband. It could be over the war system policeman. See, all that's under God's authority. And we're going to get to that too, the war system government of authority. We submit, Romans 13 says, submit yourself to all the authority because they all stand under God. Now, here's the last part now. It's the same as to rebel against God because God represents all authority. I'm not talking about perversion. I'm talking about all authority. And I'm going to close with this statement here. All work, everything you do in the spiritual realm must be done in obedience. Well, class, I enjoyed teaching you today. Now, we're going to take off, continuing this session here about Eve rebellion. But I want you to know you was a good class. You listened real good. And take good notes. If you took good notes, you're going to do well. Amen.